all the technology is really good, but sometimes it just takes a while to get it all together. Really good to see you this morning. It's been such a joy to have the time we've had thus far, and look forward always to being with you and worshiping together and studying God's Word. So for this hour, I want to return once again to the series that we've been looking at some of the one another passages that we find in the New Testament. I might have mentioned in an earlier lesson that altogether there are almost 100 of these passages in the New Testament that use the phrase one another, that address in various ways different aspects of our relationship with brothers and sisters in Christ, as well as our relationship to our friends and neighbors that we have around about us in this world. This is such an important principle, great topic for us to consider, to think about. And most of these are very practical in nature. And so this morning I call your attention to the idea of bearing with one another. We'll begin with Ephesians 4 and verse 2, where the apostle says, "With all humility and gentleness, with patience, show tolerance to one another in love," or "to bear with one another in love," some translations. Another word that is found in the New Testament that conveys the same idea is forbearance. It's actually just another form of the term. Forbearance then is the act or the attitude behind the act of enduring or bearing with others. Sometimes it means patiently forbearing a wrong that has been done. Associated ideas, we think about the idea of long-suffering. That's a phrase that we find many times in the Scriptures that suggests the same idea, the idea of self-restraint. It is the idea of we just have to learn to be tolerant with one another. And so we find that in various Scriptures, attitudes that are often connected with, like we have right here in this opening verse, it's associated with humility, with gentleness, and with patience. Sometimes associated with kindness, compassion, forgiveness. So these terms often go together. And we'll see some examples of them in a moment as we consider some thoughts. I do want to say also that it's important to recognize that forbearance is an important attribute of God, most perfectly exemplified in his attitude towards sinful man. Romans 2, verse 4, for example, Paul refers to the riches of God's kindness and patience and forbearance towards us. God bears with us. God puts up with us, if we want to think of it that way. He is long-suffering toward us. And in Romans 2 and verse 4, as we studied last week on repentance, his long-suffering should lead us to repentance, and we should never take it lightly. We should never despise the patience and long-suffering of God, Paul says. And in Romans 2 verse 25, it talks about how the forbearance of God is demonstrated by his grace. His grace towards sinful man. That is one way he shows his grace, is in his forbearance. Let's put it this way. God was willing to go to great lengths to save us from our sins. And part of that is his forbearance. It is described in Scripture as an attribute of love, agape love. That means active goodwill or concern for the good and well-being of another. And that means even when one has done wrong. You remember 1 Corinthians 13, where Paul has his discussion of love, and he goes through a long list of the characteristics of love, how love behaves, how love acts. And he says that love is not provoked, that love bears all things, that love endures all things. Remember those terms? And so that's the idea that we find in Scripture regarding love. And he says in that same passage, love does not take into account a wrong suffered. We've all been in that position, haven't we? Where we feel that we've been wronged. And sometimes the better part of wisdom and grace is to bear with one another and to recognize that I have made the same mistake at times and will do so again. All of that is forbearance that we're talking about. So what I want to do just for a few moments here is to look at some passages of Scripture in which bearing with one another or forbearance is associated with being at peace with one another. That is a relationship, if we want our relationship with one another to be peaceful relationships, bearing with one another is an important way to do that, an important part of it. If we go first of all to Colossians chapter 3, Paul prefaces what he's going to say here by reminding us as Christians that we are God's elect, we are God's chosen as Christians. And so he says, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, and bearing with one another, and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. You have here a pattern that's repeated many times, that Paul goes through all of these attributes, these attitudes that we ought to demonstrate as God's people, as those who have been chosen of God, bear with one another. And the end result is we can have peace. That's the way he ends this. The peace of Christ, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. You can have unity with one another as a result of these kinds of godly attitudes. Also, go back to Ephesians chapter 4 in the passage that we started with a moment ago. Those first few verses of Ephesians chapter 4 are focusing on the unity that we enjoy in the body of Christ. And we're familiar with the part where he talks about how there's one body and one spirit, even as you're called in one hope, as you're called in one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God. These are some of the principles where we have the basis of unity. But it's important, equally important for us to recognize that before Paul enumerates those aspects of a platform for unity, he talks about the attitude that we ought to have in order to preserve unity. And here's what he says. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the call with which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Here, once again, you have this pattern. Here is your calling. In Colossians, he says your calling is you were chosen of God. Here he describes it as the calling with which you've been called. That ought to mean something to us. That ought to mean something to us. That ought to inform our conduct and our behavior toward one another. It ought to change our attitudes in this way. And so he says, be sure that you walk in an appropriate manner and that you demonstrate forbearance toward one another, because this is going to be necessary in order for us to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. You see, unity among the people of God, unity in a family, unity in a congregation depends on more than simply having the right doctrine. It includes more than just preaching the right truth and practicing the right things, although those things are indispensable. Listen, beloved, it also depends on us having godly attitudes, being willing to forbear with one another. And I'm so grateful people have put up with me through the years. Now, I can be a real knucklehead sometimes. If you don't believe me, ask Kathy. And And we've made it 54 years together because she has put up with a lot. She is forbearing. And that's what this is talking about here in these verses, in this lesson for today. We are to strive to bear with one another, and there are plenty of opportunities for us to do that. Let's go over to the Philippians. Philippians also has an example of this, and this is actually a concrete example, because evidently here in Philippi, there were two women in the church who are named, Paul saw fit to call out by name in this public letter. He sends this epistle to the whole congregation, and in the course of this, he says, I want these two women, I want them to live in harmony. We don't know what was going on. Let's just read what he said. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. I suppose it had to be fairly serious for Paul to call them out by name in a letter that's intended to be publicly read. He says, indeed, my true companion, I ask you also to help these women. Help them who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Help them. Help them to mend whatever it is that's going on. We're not privy to what was going on. We don't need to know what was going on. But Paul exhorts them in this way. Then he follows with these words. In a positive note, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Let your forbearing spirit always be evident in the way you deal with one another. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then he ends it the same way we've seen in these other passages. The peace of God, which surpasses comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. If there was something going on in the congregation that was disturbing the peace, that was getting in the way of the unity and the concord and the harmony that ought to be in that congregation in Philippi, Paul says, you can have peace. Peace will come if you'll always let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. We have to be willing to do that. We've got to be ready to forgive and to help one another when something takes place. And then, just generally live in peace with one another. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 13. After he talks about esteeming those who have charge over you, the leaders of the church, he says, live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone, and see that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. I suppose it's part of human nature, part of the old man of sin, for us to think in selfish terms, and to feel like if someone does me wrong, I want to get even. We often feel like we want to have retribution. And the scriptures are so powerfully strong in saying that's not the way of Jesus Christ. He is saying here to admonish one another, to encourage one another, to be patient. Do not repay evil. If someone does you wrong, what do? You bear with one another. You seek for the good. You try to repay not evil for evil, but repay it with good. That is so much more powerful, isn't it? That's the way of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 12, Paul emphasizes this principle. We're familiar with Romans 12, a beautiful passage altogether. Here in verse 18, he says, in verse 17, never pay back evil for anyone. Respect what's right in the sight of all men. And if possible, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. And this whole passage here in Romans 12, the latter part of that chapter, he's talking about how we're not to be the people who seek revenge. Leave that to the Lord. Leave vengeance to the Lord. He says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, we just need to strive to be at peace with all men. And that can be hard sometimes. But Paul is insistent here that even if others don't want to have peace, it is up to us to try to do all that we can to have peace, to bear with one another. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. Paul writes to the younger preacher, he says, that verse 24, he says, the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, listen, patient when wrong, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps we may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth. Yes, as servants of God, Paul is saying, we're trying to teach and admonish others, and so we need to do it with an attitude of gentleness and kindness, not quarrelsomeness, and even to the point where even when we are wrong, we respond with an attitude of patience. That's bearing with one another. That's forbearance. You know, we need to talk about these things. Yeah, but some of these principles, like the one that we're considering for a few moments here, they can be some of the most difficult ones for us to put into practice. In our little lesson, we talked about discipleship and how it's a lifetime of learning. And it's these kinds of lessons that we can spend a lifetime trying to learn and put into practice. It's important that we do so, learning to bear with one another. So what we've talked about here this hour for this lesson is it's a principle that is most perfectly exemplified in God's attitude toward sinful man. Do we recognize how powerful that is? So when Paul talks about the riches in Romans 2, he talks about the riches of God's kindness, of God's patience, and God's forbearance toward us. Romans chapter 5, he goes on to expand on that. Says, even while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Even while we were enemies, Christ died for us. That's the way of Christ. And so God's attitude toward man in sending his son, his attitude in the gospel is that he is long-suffering. And that ought to lead us to repentance, and we should never take it rightly. God sent Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, to reconcile us to himself. That means that we were at enmity with God. Jesus died so that we might have peace with God. He wanted to provide a way for forgiveness. Ephesians 2 says, he himself is our peace. And Colossians says, he made peace through the blood of his cross. The gospel story is so powerful, in part because it tells us that a loving, patient, long-suffering, forbearing God has invited us to come to him. And he's there with open arms, ready to forgive us of our sins so that we can enjoy peace with him and eternity with him. That is just a principle that is so beautiful, and one that we should strive every day to practice the principle of bearing with one another. I thank you for bearing with me at this time. As always, you're so kind, and I love you all. And we're going to offer the invitation now and stand and sing the song that's been announced for this moment. And I just want you to remember what I said here is that God is a loving, patient, long-suffering, forbearing God. He gave His Son to die so that you and I could have the forgiveness of our sins and enjoy eternity with our Creator and our Savior. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, we offer this time. Please come as we stand.